number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday, live here at Circa Sports up in Franklin, Kentucky. As we're here today, they got Monday Night Football tonight, the Panthers and the Niners. So looking forward to that. We'll have John McClain join us here in just a second. I think he is ready to go. Let's bring John in now. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I always enjoy having you on the program as usual. So the Titans put up a fight yesterday. They didn't win, but I mean, how much do you really, at this point with where they are, look at wins and losses? And it's more about, are the young players that are going to be a part of your core moving forward getting better?
That's exactly what you want. One of the things not getting better, based on that game and others, is how much trouble they have running the ball. Now, they've invested so much in their offensive line. Let me ask you guys, why are they so bad running the ball? If you take away Cam Ward's rushes yesterday, they were absolutely pathetic, averaging, what, about 1 yard a carry? If you can't run the ball, that's the worst thing you're doing to a rookie quarterback.
So did you, in watching him, feel like that was one of his stronger performances?
Absolutely it was. He didn't throw an interception. Of course, it helped to get the punt return for a touchdown. But considering how little talent there is around him, and let's be honest, with everything they put in the offensive line, that offensive line ought to be better. But he was sacked four times. I don't know how many times that was it. What bothers me is the running game. When Tony Pollard gives 11 carries and averages one something, you know, whose fault is that? Is it Pollard? Well, I don't think Pollard's a guy you're going to be counting on the next couple of years. But, of course, Ward and any other young players, no matter which side of the ball it's on, is you want to see progress, even if it's baby steps.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, Mike McCoy has this interim job. How difficult is it, do you think? And nobody's feeling sorry for him. I understand that. But as an interim head coach, you still got 6-7 more games to go. How tough of a job is it to kind of get a point across when you know you're not going to be back here in 6 weeks?
Well, you hope that the players, it's about pride. It's about improving, because the players know that when you have a changeover, when you have two guys in charge who did not bring most of them into the organization, you're going to have a new coach. You know, they're going to be gone. And they got to put out and do as well as they can, because they're auditioning for another job. Their agents would emphasize that. And so, Mike McCoy is never going to go in there and say, a lot of you are going to be out of work.
Right.
But he does his job as best that he knows how to do it, from being in the NFL for so long, being a former head coach in the NFL. And it is the toughest job, is being an interim coach. But the bottom line is, there's no expectations for an interim coach. Now, with the Giants and Mike Kafka, that's different. When Andy Reid had Mike Kafka on his staff, everybody that I talked to that knew Andy Reid with that team said Reid loved him, thought he was going to be an offensive coordinator, and then a head coach. And that's one reason I'm sure the Giants fired Brian Daboll when they did, is they wanted a good look at Kafka. And, you know, they fired their defensive coordinator because they'd blown all these games in the fourth quarter. They were running trick plays for touchdowns, and they were fun to watch, but the bottom line is they still lost. So in most cases, the interim coach, he's auditioning for his next job, just like his players.
Absolutely. Does Mike Bergonzi go in that locker? I know he doesn't go in the locker, but pull like a Jeff Simmons aside, John, and say, hey, I need you to kind of keep the guys focused for me and keep going ahead, because don't you need like a voice inside that locker room? Does Mike Bergonzi need a voice inside that locker room, John?
Well, to me, they should stay out of the locker room. That's not their job, to be motivating players. If they want to talk to a player, your GM, you call him into your office or you talk to his agent to get a message across. It's not good Sabathon's, he's in the locker room and he's talking to five players. And everybody's wondering, well, what's he telling them? You know, are they getting new contracts? So GMs should be staying out of locker room and leave that any message they have for the players, tell the head coach, in this case the interim coach, the agent, or talk to a player in your office. And a lot of that message comes across in the exit interviews when they tell you exactly what their expectations are for you in the off season and next season. And that's when a player, you know, like Simmons, could say, well, let me ask you, what are you planning to do?
That's a good point. John, how much should Titans fan – look, I know the 98 to the 99 Rams was a great transformation. They won the Super Bowl in 99, but that seems like 1,000 years ago. How much satisfaction or not satisfaction, but can Titans fans look at what the Carolina Panthers have done in just 2 years? Remember 22, they were terrible. 23, they were not very good. And now, John, they're 6-5 and tied for first in NFC South. Can Titans fans take away a little hope from what the Panthers have done?
I think any situation like that, Joe, is going to be something fans can lock on to. You know, you'd love to say, okay, the 99 Rams, but that seems like it's so old it's got moss on it. And that was a lot. If Trent Green had stayed healthy, I don't know anybody thinks he'd have been the MVP and they'd won the Super Bowl. So we used to talk about the injury to Drew Bledsoe being one of the most significant injuries in history because it opened the door for Brady. What about the injury to Trent Green in the preseason of 99? And we all thought Dick Vermeil had lost his mind not getting another veteran quarterback instead of going with this guy named Warner, who'd bounced all over the country and said stop groceries, had been in Europe. But obviously they knew, I don't know if anybody could know what they had. They thought enough of Kurt Warner to stick with him, and then, of course, he exceeded all expectations. I think more realistic would be the Panthers, even the Patriots. But, boy, you know, next year Cam Ward's got to show a lot of improvement. They got to put talent around him. I think another one are the Bears and the way Ryan Poles went about stocking the offense to help Caleb Williams. And now he was fortunate he had a pretty good defense anyway. But, man, this offseason has got to be devoted to helping Cam Ward, not just with the quarterback and the new staff, but the talents they put around them at the skill positions. And then, of course, they're still going to need work done on the offensive line because it's not, I wouldn't imagine, performing the way they want it to.
Do you think that look, there's always going to be value holding the number one overall pick, and right now the Titans hold the number one overall pick and look to do that for the second year in a row if things stay the way they are. But do you think they could get what they need to get by trading out of that pick? Because right now I don't see a quarterback that anyone is going to fall in love with.
Well, let me tell you something. Anybody, and with all due respect, that tries to think they know what's going to happen with a quarterback by the time the scouting process is over is nuts. Because think of all – look at Anthony Richardson. Look where he was drafted. He hadn't done squat at Florida. Y'all saw him.
Yep.
Didn't even complete 60%. Then had that great combine. Now he's one of the biggest busts in history. There have been other players. Nobody talked about J.J. Watt at the combine, until the combine, Mario Williams, until the combine. And that's a sad state of affairs. But I'll guarantee you, Fernando Mendoza, who's 6'5", 225, is really smart. I heard an interview with him the other day. When he starts sitting down with all those teams picking near the top, they're going to be impressed. And when they see the comeback, like, say, at Penn State, other things he's done, what if he tears it up in the playoffs? They win a national championship. Then he knocks everybody dead in the pro days and the combines and the private workouts. The first pick is going to be a quarterback who is coveted, I'll guarantee you. So if you get that first pick, I'm not saying you got to do what the Bears did with Bryce Young, although that's worked out pretty well. We're talking about him right now with Joe. But you're going to have an opportunity to improve your team faster. But then, of course, you got to get the right coach And then you got to get the right players when you use those picks.
We will have more with John McClain coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. We're live at Circa Sports in Kentucky at the Minta Kentucky Downs and continuing with John McClain, who joins us now. John, the Texans made some noise Thursday night, and they're still very much in the thick of it after beating Buffalo 23-19 on Thursday Night Football. Are they getting hot at the right time?
I don't know if that 0-3 hole put them out of it, but the fact is they go to Indy, and I watched that Colts-Chiefs game. Shane Steichen had some of the worst strategy I've seen from the fourth quarter and overtime, basically to throw the ball instead of give it to his best running back and one of the best running backs in the country. Jonathan Taylor was just way underused and was no excuse. Two teams have contained Taylor, forced Daniel Jones to throw, both of them, the Steelers and now the Chiefs, have beaten the Colts, and I'm sure that'll be the same strategy. And Taylor's had some great games against Texans, over 200 yards. Not as many as Derrick Henry had, but close. But there have been a few where they've contained him, and if they do, their pass rushers will get after Daniel Jones. And I'm guessing the Jaguars will beat the Titans. So if the Texans could pull the upset, and I would never pick it, then that means Jacksonville and Indy would be tied one game ahead of Houston. Jacksonville has both the Jaguars and the Texans have two games each with the Colts, and the Colts finish the season here. It's not set yet what day or the time it will be, but the Colts need to get back to what made them so good, and that was using the run to set up the pass, not vice versa.
The Patriots are atop the AFC, and I think we all agree that they have earned it. They look very good. Now, we'll see what they look like in the playoffs with a young team, but would you be more afraid of them or a surging Baltimore right now?
Problem with Baltimore, Lamar Jackson has not played well since he came back from his injury, but they're winning. And it's not really impressive, but they're winning. But when you get to the playoffs, even though Lamar Jackson has never gotten to a Super Bowl, has not played in the playoffs the way he does regular season, I would still take a healthy Lamar Jackson and their defense and experience over the Ravens, over the Patriots with Drake May in his second season and a lot of young players who haven't been through that postseason experience.
John, I loved watching the Texans. I'm going to go back to the Texans for a second. Against the Bills, that relentless pass rush. I will watch any team that has that pass rush because the Bills had no answer for him, and Anderson and Hunter are just teeing off on people. How much fun is it to watch them do that, John, and how much energy does it bring the Texans?
It makes me tired watching Will Anderson Jr., that one play where Next Gen Stats saying he ran about 51 yards to get the sack when he wouldn't let up.
Right.
Every coach in the country should be showing that play to his players about this is why you never give up on a play. And there are others where, like Anderson, batted down a pass, pulled down Josh Allen from behind after a two-yard gain. Because, and y'all saw this when he was at Alabama, his motor just never quits, including when he's talking after the game. And I think they are – he's called the Terminator – and Danielle Hunter is called a cyborg, and they're the most gruesome twosome on pass rushers in the league this year. It's weird. Josh Allen's 0 for 4 here. Last year he was 9 of 31, lowest rating he'd had since his rookie year, but they didn't get to him a lot, and he had no turnovers. And the Texans won 23-20. This one was 23-19, and he just got obliterated. Now we'll see if they can do the same thing to Daniel Jones. If they can keep this up, they'll have a chance to stay in the race. But if they lose to Indy, they're going to Arrowhead Stadium. And based on the way the Chiefs came back yesterday against the Colts, you know, they lose that one, then that's going to be two losses in a row. And so they need to at least win one of these next two. And I would think the Colts would be the best choice.
Oh, I totally agree. And it's fun watching them guys, John. It reminds me a lot, not to the extent of Javon Kurse, but like that, because the tackles know when that ball is snapped, they're in for a fight for their life. It's just fun watching those guys get after the quarterback because, like you said, they're relentless. And what's a defense? And I'm looking now, they're second in the league in points allowed at 182. The Rams are 179. So if you got a defense like that playing really well, it can take you a long way. You've seen it in your career, John, how a great defense can take a team all the way.
They can, especially when it comes because of a pass rush. They lead the NFL in interceptions over the last 2 years. They're, I think, plus nine in turnover differential. But their offense has been basically terrible.
Right.
And you can't win with an offense like that. C.J. Stroud will be back in the game in Indy. And there's people here, a bunch of nitwits, who think Davis Mills ought to be the starter. And Davis Mills done great. He's done everything he could do going 3-0, but you're not going to beat Indy and Kansas City without C.J. Stroud, without him playing very well. Best thing that happened in that last game, yes, it was the best pass rush I've seen from the Texans against a great quarterback in their 24-year history. But the biggest thing that got unnoticed because of the pass rush was the offensive line didn't give up a sack.
Oh.
And played its best game. And they may have finally found their regular five. And now we'll have to see if they can do it against Indy, but they sure did it against the Bills. And that was the thing here that caused everybody to get the most excited, is that the line played better than it's played any time this year.
Oh, that's good. John, I got to tell you, I watched that Rams game yesterday versus the Bucks, and I just love watching Stafford. I love watching an offense. And the defense is good. I think, and you know far more about this than I do, I think that might be the best team in football.
It is the best team in football. They've got, right now, they've got the home field advantage in the NFC. Came close last year when they lost that divisional game in Philly, and the snow came really close. Right now, I'm thinking it's the Rams and the Eagles that are the two best teams in the NFC, and you're thinking AFC, is it Denver? Great defense, not much of an offense, but they win games in the fourth quarter. I just can't say it's the Colts based on the way Daniel Jones has been playing recently and the way Mahomes pulled that out yesterday. I'm thinking, geez, you know, could they win the rest of their games and finish 12-5 and nobody want to play them in the postseason?
John McClain with us now. Is there, do you think that there could be a surprise team that makes a late push, or with the way things are shaking out, barring, you know, the Steelers are on the bubble in the AFC, the Lions on the bubble in the NFC, we pretty much kind of know how it's going to be?
I think there'll be somebody that's in the race that gets hot, or somebody that is above them who will have an injury or something happen that a team will sneak in, maybe in both conferences. You need Pittsburgh. I haven't seen Pittsburgh do anything that makes me think they're a playoff team. And, you know, maybe Joe Burrow comes back Thursday and they win the rest of their game. Still don't think it would help Cincinnati. And there's going to be a team, but I'm going over the divisions, and I still think Kansas City's going to get in the playoffs, three teams from the AFC West. And I think one team from the AFC North, that'll be Baltimore. And then from the South, right now, three teams with winning records. Nobody, I don't think, takes the Jaguars seriously. They had to go into overtime to beat the Cardinals. Cardinals had four turnovers, were plus four in turnover differential, and they lost. So I'm not real respectful of Jacksonville, and but I can't say they're one of those teams either. With Baker Mayfield out, what about the Panthers winning that division?
Ooh, I think there's a chance. Look, Dave Canales, kudos to him and what they have done, especially in this stretch. So it'll certainly be a fun ending to the regular season. John, we appreciate it. As always, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you next week. John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll react to some of that and much more in the Titans' loss yesterday. Coming up next, live from Circus Sports in Kentucky, 102.5 The Game.